This Friday episode of The Daily Jungle is brought to you by Fan Exchange. Hey, you guys see that live stream of Coachella Weekend 1? Amazing, right? Yeah, well, instead of watching it on the lapper again this weekend, why not get to the desert and see the second act live with Fan Exchange? If that's the case, head on over to fanexchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. Tickets purchased on Fan Exchange are always guaranteed, so there's no getting to the gate and having to worry about how you're going to get in. Whether it's NBA, MLB, WrestleMania, Coachella, or a Broadway musical, Fan Exchange will get you right there close to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at fanexchange.com. You want to use the promo code ROAM. The promo code ROAM will get you 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange, we have tickets.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Philly, 128. Miami, 108. Absolutely crushed the Heat in the second half and took a 2-1 series lead. But as impressive as Philly's performance was, and it was great, and as incredible as Embiid was after being off for a month, and he was, even better than the game was Joel talking about the game. But before we get into what he did last night, let's make something very clear. There was an awful lot at stake. There is a reason the Sixers did not rush this guy back. According to reports, he had multiple fractures of the orbital bone, and it was the second time that he has suffered an injury in that area. That's why the team did not rush him back. That's why the team invested so much time and energy and even money into that incredible mask and goggle combo. They tested it at the University of Pennsylvania. As Embiid told ESPN, quote, "They," the Sixers, "did everything possible. They were like throwing stuff at it to make sure it could withstand it," end quote. Because they knew how Miami would respond. The Heat responded to Embiid's return and to that mask the way any NBA team would in the postseason. They went right at him and they went right at it, hitting him with double-digit fouls, and when the mask hit the floor, Justice Winslow stepped on it and tried to break it.
Ground, it is split apart. Look at Justice Winslow stepping on the eyewear portion.
And trying to rip it apart, too, as he got there.
Thanks to TNT. I guess you could call that a heel move. Heel! Gotta say, though, it was awesome. That was awesome. That was an awesome old-school moment. Was that the classiest move ever? No, but it was awesome. And it was not enough to stop Joel Embiid. Just ask Joel Embiid.
For the change of mask, he was just about, I think, Justice stepped on it and tried to break it with his hands. Man, but little do that know is that I have about 50 of them, so he's going to take much more than that to get me out of this series, and I'm going to be a nightmare for them too.
I can't even begin to describe how much I love this guy. Honestly, I love Joel Embiid. I love this guy, and I don't want to point out that I've been riding with this guy for a while. This dude is amazing. I mean, I'm not even sure what I love more. The quote, "little did he know," or quote, "I'm going to be a nightmare for them." Because that's exactly what that guy is. 30 minutes, 23 points, 7 boards, 4 assists, 3 blocks, all while wearing a foggy mask that dude can barely see through. But he didn't just bring the digits or the numbers. He brought a ton of attitude and a ton of swag. Joe was on the bench in game 2, and he saw Goran Dragic go for a late layup when the game was already decided. Joe did not like that. In fact, Joe, quote, said, "It kind of pissed me off.
Kind of pissed me off."
And then he went on.
Goran didn't get a lot of he's always good to, like, blow a team out. And, you know, if it was, I think we were up 18 or 20. And if you could get that lead up to 22, I think it's good. So I love blowing teams out. And I like the fact that we did that. And, you know, we're not here to make friends. We're here to win a series.
This dude's amazing. These quotes are amazing. I mean, never mind that the guy's an absolute freak on the floor and unbelievable to watch. I can just listen to this guy talk. Listening to this guy talk is almost better than watching anybody play. So it was personal with Goran, as it was with Winslow, who had a great first half, and then later blocked Embiid, and then immediately got blocked by Joel back at the other end.
Gives it right back. The catch. And Winslow denies Embiid. Man, Justice Winslow is having the night of his career in the playoffs.
Great defense by Winslow. Went up top and he said, if you can do it.
See, it was great defense by Winslow. But then Winslow felt like he had to let Joel know about it. That's always a mistake. Do not talk to Joel Embiid unless he speaks to you first.
It felt great. When he blocked me, I didn't really see him. Good for him. So, but at the other end, I'm glad I got him back and kind of shut him up a little bit because he was talking big time when he did block me. And, you know, you don't really want to talk trash to me. So, I'm glad I got him back.
No, you really don't want to talk trash to him. And he did get him back. Fact is, he got all of Miami back, including draining a huge three that put Philly up by double digits with less than 5 minutes to go.
On the left side of Embiid, he dropped it. James Johnson is on him. Joel shoots a three, and it's good! Joel Embiid stepping out and knocking down a three. The big man is back in a big way. He's got 21 points, three threes, Sixers by 12.
Sixers radio. So that's a 7-footer with a busted eye, sticking that right in your eye. And he went glass on one, where he enjoyed Miami's reaction even more than the bucket itself.
I could see in their faces that when you kind of make that type of shots, the guys on the other end, they just go like, ugh. And that's good. Now, when you see that in their faces, that's good.
That is good. That is good. And if you're wondering why I'm playing so much sound from Joel Embiid, it's because, well, you already know. I couldn't love this guy anymore if he were my own son. Welcome back, Joel. It is so good to have you back where you belong, kicking ass on the court and talking junk in the media. No one better than you, my man. No one better than you. No one better than you. And by that, I don't mean no one better than you on the floor. I mean no one better than you in life. And anyone who doubts that better learn to trust the process.
Trust the process?
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Didn't want to get my hopes up too high, but when I saw that he was probable and then I realized that he was going to go last night, I knew it was going to be a big night, and it was. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
No one better than you. He's the absolute best. 1-800-636-8686. Man, what a different team they are with him on the floor. And I don't care how well they played without him. What a different team they are with him on the floor. What a different world this is with that guy on the floor. Great to see him back. David Johnson is my guest. David, it is really good to have you back on. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
You got it, David. So you were back on the field for the first team practice of the offseason on Tuesday. Let me start right there. How good did it feel to be back out there?
It felt amazing. I felt like I was able to finally, after basically a year, be able to play the sport that I love. So I was very glad.
You know, what about that? I mean, everybody knows, and I mentioned it in the open too, you had one of the great seasons in NFL history in 2016. Then you fractured your wrist in week one of 2017. I mean, what was that experience like for you and then having to sit out an entire season?
Oh, it was definitely the toughest season of my career ever. Not being able to play and basically not even play a full game. And sit there sideline through all the stuff that was going on, not being able to help out the team. And a lot of people have, criticized because of it being a risk. But as a running back, you have to be able to carry the ball and then catch the ball. So I wasn't able to do that. But my body felt great. I was in one of the best shapes of my life just because all I was doing was training. But it was very tough to just sit there and not be able to play.
Go back to that first point that people were critical, saying that, quote, it was only a wrist. What do you make of that? How does that make you feel? People seem to have a really good threshold for your pain and seem to know a whole lot about your body, maybe even more than you. So when you see that and hear that, how does that make you feel?
It made me feel, very unhappy because people don't understand that this is the top of football, it being the NFL. And, you want to – especially me. No one was more devastated than I was because I love playing football. I love competing. And them thinking that it's just a wrist injury, they didn't have to go through, it being a torn ligament. And I was trying my best as much as I could to get on the team, get back on the field and play again. And I think a lot of people didn't understand, you know, how difficult it was for me and how serious it was, it being a torn ligament in my wrist.
Hey, Clones, the weather is finally getting better for everybody now across the states. I checked the forecast today. Trust me, it is time to show out. Get that Roadster looking fresh. Like sports, car care is a game of numbers. And the very best number for your car is 303 Automotive Premium Protectants and Cleaners, designed to clean, shine, and protect. 303 products undergo rigorous testing to ensure superior performance and outstanding protection and to bring out that show car finish. Here in SoCal, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. I'm going to get my rig out. Trust me, it's going to be looking tight. From your dashboard to your tires, 303 keeps your car looking new, longer. 303. We've got your number. For more information, check out my friends at 303radio.com. That's 303radio.com. David Johnson joining us. So it leads me to the next point. I wonder about your mindset now. As an example, when you come into the NFL from Northern Iowa, it's natural to think, all right, I got to prove myself. I would argue with the season you had in 2016, you proved yourself and more. You answered any doubts there might have been. But coming into this season, now what's your mindset? Do you feel like you've got to prove yourself all over again?
Yes, I definitely do. I think I have to prove everyone else again that first off that I'm 100%, I'm ready to play. And then, you know, with all these running backs, you know, blowing up, I have to prove to everyone that I'm going to be a dominant 2016, improve 2016 in David Johnson. And, you know, I'm going to come back and show them, you know, how improved I am, basically.
We're talking to David Johnson. All right, so you get a chance to work out for the first time in the offseason on Tuesday. It was also the first offseason workout with Steve Wilks as the new head coach. David, I had him on the show recently, and I got to admit, I mean, even me as a talking head, I was fired up just rapping with this guy. What have you made of him so far as a coach?
Exactly what you said. When he speaks to us, the team, to me, makes me want to, you know, do as much as I can for him, because the way he articulates, the way he tells you, you know, what he wants, and just how passionate you can tell he is about being a coach and about football, that, you know, I want to do as much as I can. I want to play as best as I can for him. And do the best that I can for him, because I know he's going to be a tremendous coach, and I'm so excited for this new season.
David Johnson joining us. In addition to having a new coach, you've got a new quarterback in Sam Bradford. Now, you've seen what he can do when he's healthy. So if he's out there on the field consistently, how good can the offense be with him?
We can be a really good offense, really dominant offense in the NFL. And I think, like you said, as long as I stay healthy, as long as I can help keep the pocket clean, I think that you know, Sam's going to be a great quarterback. I've talked to previous teammates that he's had, and they said that when he's healthy, when you keep the pocket clean, that he is one of the best quarterbacks. His accuracy, his arm strength is one of the best that you'll ever see.
David Johnson, my guest. Now, the NFL released its schedule yesterday, and you're opening up at home against Washington. You know how that goes, David. Fans get pretty hyped up when the schedule is released. Some start to try to predict wins and losses. As a player, though, how much attention do you pay to the schedule when it is released?
I think the biggest thing is, since it's released, everyone knows who we're playing, but it's when. And that's what I try to see, is when we're playing each team. And my biggest thing is when we play the teams in our division, because first off, we have to win the division to go to the Super Bowl. And so I try to see, you know, when we play in Seattle, the 49ers, and the Rams. And now with everyone talking about the Rams, I think that's going to be one of the biggest games that I'm looking forward to.
Listen, before you get to the season opener, though, you've got another big game coming up, a huge game, the Larry Fitzgerald Celebrity Softball Game, which is supposed to take place tomorrow. There's been a lot of junk talked on Twitter about this, including Fitz himself tweeting, quote, "This man said he's going to out-hit me this year. After last year's performance, him out-batting anyone is laughable. David Johnson should sit in the dugout this year and give little DJ the bat. He's got a better chance of helping the team." I mean, dude, what is your reaction when you hear that from Larry Fitz?
Oh, it's going down. It's going to be one of my biggest competitions that I'm looking forward to, because Fitz, oh, he's a good smack talker, but I'm going to beat him. I actually, when I was applying, when he sent us the sheet to apply for the game or whatever, I told him, you know, from the start that I'm going to beat him in hits. And, you know, he had came out and said that. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. He's not going to beat me at it. He thinks he will. Just like he thinks his hands are better than mine, but I'm going to show him up tomorrow.
David Johnson joining us. You have to. Listen, this guy, I mean, when you think about Larry Fitzgerald, what do you think? You think this is one of the classiest guys ever, one of the most professional guys ever. But Patrick Peterson told me something you just said. He's one of the best trash talkers around, isn't he? That's pretty accurate.
Oh, yeah, he definitely is. He's a big trash talker. He likes to tell us, you know, that he's better than us at catching the ball and stuff like that. He just loves to compete. I think that's the biggest thing. Is Larry loves to compete, and he will try to, you know, get under your skin, especially his teammates. You know, that was one of the first things that he said, my hands and my catching ability will never, you know, be up to his, but I'm telling you right now that mine is. So I love to trash talk with Larry.
So he's one of the best ever. I know it to be true because one night I was out during Super Bowl and he and Kurt Warner were having dinner. The guy turned around. I was a table away and he started trash talk me. I mean, this guy will trash talk anybody who's within blast radius of him. Trust me, he is one of the best to ever do it. Now, I saw one of the things you did in the offseason. This is amazing. You hit up a Renaissance Festival or a Ren Fair, and among other things, you did some axe throwing. You saw some jousting. What did you make of that whole scene?
That was a new experience. I loved it, actually. That was a good experience that me, my family and I, you know, we got to do. And that was definitely something that I've never seen before with the costume and the whole atmosphere. And, I mean, they take it serious. They take out, I mean, lots of area. And they let you know, that this is huge. And it was a great experience for us. Like you said, we got to see the jousting. I got to throw some axes and stuff. So it was pretty cool.
Jousting rules. I'm a huge fan of jousting. Listen, I'm also trying to clean it up a little bit, David. Help me out here. You're working with Rockin' Protein. How did you first get involved with Rockin' Protein, and what is it about their products that you like the most?
So, I actually got involved. I started drinking the Jinx, and they tasted great. The best thing about it is that it's not chalky. I've tried other protein drinks, other protein shakes, and it's just chalky, it's gritty, it's hard to drink, and with Dragon Protein, I fell in love with it right away because of that. And then it just tastes great. I don't feel like I'm tasting or drinking a protein drink. And it has different levels that I can use or anyone can use with the builder, the recovery, and then the lean. So it goes in different perspectives, what you think that, you know, your exercise level is. And then another great thing about it is that it's made from real milk. So you don't get the artificial, the fake milk. You can trust that it's going to do the job, and the protein is the right protein, and is going to help you stay lean and fit.
Clones, let me talk to you for a minute about a brand new partner we have, HelloFresh. HelloFresh is awesome. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. This process is amazing. There are three plans that you can choose from: classic, veggie, and family. So there is something for everyone in HelloFresh's selection. Plus, it is an absolute blast. You can rediscover the excitement of cooking. You can look forward to your HelloFresh delivery knowing that dinner just got that much easier. I don't know about you, but I would rather spend my weekend doing anything other than running down a grocery list. The weekend is my time, and HelloFresh helps me keep more of my time. So get out of the recipe rut and start cooking outside your comfort zone by discovering new, delicious recipes in each week's box. We have already prepared HelloFresh meals as a family. We had a pizza the other night that was absolutely amazing. Clones, you need to jump on HelloFresh. This is a great, great offer. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code DAILYJUNGLE30. Once again, go to HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code DAILYJUNGLE30. I absolutely love this product, HelloFresh. The NFL did release its 2018 schedule last night. And I gotta say, man, damn, it is lit. It's lit.
It's lit.
Thanks, Alvy. Ding, Alvy. Philly opens up with Atlanta at home on September 6th. Pittsburgh has got 5 division opponents in the first 9 weeks. The Niners could be playing a bunch of primetime games. Ed Sheeran's tour dates apparently have a huge impact on the NFL's dates. So, what I'm going to do right now is run down every team and their schedule and start picking the winners of every single game. And we're going to start in the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills, who open up in Baltimore. The Bills, as you know, are coming off their first playoff appearance. You want to know something? You know what? I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I'm not doing that. Because as soon as the schedule was released, people started to try to break it down and pick the winners and the losers. Let me help you with this. Let me keep this very simple. In terms of the winners and the losers are the people who spent last night predicting wins and losses or meaningful late season matchups. There are your losers. Because you can't sit here in April and say that Philadelphia is going to go 14-2 because I like how that week 9 bye sets up. That week 9 bye sets up perfectly for them. Yeah, because last April, nobody was predicting Carson Wentz was going to destroy his knee late in the season and that Nick Foles was going to come in and play like Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, Dan Marino, and Tom Brady all rolled in the one into the postseason and win a Super Bowl. You see, that's the whole point of the NFL. No one has any idea what's going to happen in the regular season. That's why every weekend matters so much. Because so much can change on any given Sunday. Like, if you think Pittsburgh playing 5 division games in the first 9 weeks is a good thing in April, then you're whack. You're crazy. If you think Pittsburgh playing 5 division games in the first 9 weeks is a bad thing in April, then you're still whack and crazy. Oh, yeah, I know. Seattle. Poor Seattle. That's whack. Poor Seattle. They have to travel so much this year. Yeah, big surprise. They travel a lot every year. This is worse than normal, but hardly a red-letter day. Yes, the Packers look like they've got a tough schedule with road games in Seattle, New England, and Minnesota. But Seattle might not be Seattle anymore. Someone was just trying to convince us that Tom Brady hasn't even committed to playing this year, and Minnesota's got a new quarterback. Remember the Broncos when they beat the Chargers in week 1 last year? That seemed like a really big deal until it wasn't a few weeks later. So what I'm saying is, the schedule release should be used for one thing and one thing only, planning a road trip to see your team in an opposing stadium. Nothing more than that. It is for informational purposes only. It's so you can set your calendar. I mean, for the past decade or so, the only predictions that you could safely make in April is that the Patriots would win the AFC East and that the Browns would be garbage. And right now, I'd only make one of those picks with any certainty at all. Quick. What were the predictions for Jacksonville at this time last year? I guarantee it was not a playoff spot and a trip to the AFC Championship game. I guarantee nobody was picking them to face Buffalo in the wild card round. How about the Rams? They won 4 games in 2016. Was anybody looking at their schedule last April and saying, yep, this has got a double-digit win season written all over it? Hell no, you weren't. And while they look like they're building a juggernaut right now, we've got no idea what's going to happen from May to September or September to December. That Week 17 game against San Francisco might be really, really important, or it might not matter at all. Again, this is why the NFL is great, because you can't predict it. Before the start of the MLB season, you probably had a pretty good idea of who would make the postseason, but in the NFL, you've got no idea. That's why it's great. That's why everybody's hooked on the NFL, because you can't predict it. Oh, and because suckers get snot bubbled every Sunday. That too. So there's your truth. And here's another one. It's April. We have not even had the draft yet. I know you're starving for football. I get it. I really do. Because even though it's only been 2 months since the last NFL game, or a little more, it feels like it's been 2 years. So even the slightest bit of football news feels like a gallon of water when you're dying of thirst. But treating the schedule release like some sort of prediction machine is like treating the groundhog like a weatherman. It's some wacky tradition. Just don't read anything into it. Taven Bryan is my guest. Taven, really nice to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Great to have you on. Now, you've got this amazing family, and you've got an incredible story I want to get to in a minute, but 1 week away from the draft, let me start you right there. What's the whole draft process been like for you, and how eager are you? I ask this of everybody. How eager are you to find out where you're going to live and where you're going to work?
You know, when it comes to that, like, you know, I don't really think much about it. I don't really get a choice. Just kind of, you know, try to, you know, think about doing the best job I can no matter where I go.
All right, then. Exactly. You can't worry about what you can't control. You'll find out soon enough. Now, I had one of your teammates, Duke Dawson, on the show a few weeks back, and we were talking about how much being a Florida Gator meant to him and what he loved about playing in the Swamp. I know the last season may not have gone the way you would have liked from a record standpoint, but as you look back on your time at Florida, what do you remember the most?
Definitely the fans. You know, I mean, they're crazy, you know, and you have those games and they'll just be, you won't be able to talk, you know, it's just impossible. It's just so loud and it's just incredible.
Now, because of your size, you've got this unbelievable size, speed, and power. You're already being compared to J.J. Watt. You've probably heard that, really high praise. What's your reaction when you hear that comparison?
You know, I mean, I think it's nice and all. Just hopefully, you know, I can perform to that kind of level. And, you know, he's obviously a great player, so, you know, it's a good person to look up to.
All right, so speaking of that, back at your pro day, you were asked which NFL players you do look up to, and you said the person that you looked up to the most is your father. And if you know anything about your father, I can completely understand that. Your father, Brandy, is a former Navy SEAL. He's a fireman and a construction worker. What was it like growing up as his son?
You know, just, I don't know, for me it was a normal life. I mean, I, you know, worked out a lot, just a lot of hands-on and kind of physical things.
Exactly right. You worked and you worked out. So for those who don't know, you grew up in Wyoming. Pretty early on, in addition to going to school, you know, Pops made it pretty clear you're going to do some work now. So you were working with him on construction jobs. When did that first start, and what kind of work were you doing with him?
I mean, it started a long time ago. Like, I don't even remember what age I was. I remember I'd start out and I'd just be like a tool washer or something for, like, you know, a concrete job, you know, washing all that stuff. And then eventually, you know, I start helping out mucking, and then I'd be, you know, foreman, all that kind of stuff. And eventually I just ended up finishing and, you know, being able to do everything by myself.
You know, it's really funny because my old man, I'm older, obviously, but my old man was from Boston, and he would do the same thing, but not the kind of work that you were doing, but just, you know, like, if there was a fence that needed to be built, he'd be like, come on, let's go build it. Or if I had friends over, he'd be like, come on, you and your friends, we're going to work. And I'd be like, hey, Dad, I'm not going to have any friends if you keep putting them to work when they come over to the house. So what was it like? I mean, was that just the way it was? Did you resent that at all? Were you cool with that?
No, it's pretty cool. I mean, that's just what I knew, you know. So, no, but I feel you. Your friends, you know, certain friends don't want to come over when your dad's home, that kind of thing.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Exactly. And I used to have trying out this conversation to even like, hey, Pops, like, I get you're going to do this to me, but come on, man, can you not respect my friends? And he's like, no, man, why don't you just go to work like we all do? Now, your father, though, see, my dad was not a Navy SEAL. Your father was a former Navy SEAL. He told Bleacher Report, quote, you've got warriors and you've got other people. I got into it and became a warrior, and now I train my son like a warrior. So let me ask you about that warrior mentality. How would you describe your warrior mentality?
I don't really know. You know, it's just kind of something you got to learn. You just got to do. I mean, you know, there's no other way about it. But yeah.
All right. So, you know, this is what you know. One more story about your dad that's amazing. This blows my mind, too. One day he shoots himself in the leg with a nail gun. So he's got a 3.5-inch nail sticking out of his knee. Legend has it, quote, he pulled it out with pliers. He said mother bleeper a few times and taped it right up. Again, something like that happens to me. I'm looking for a nice place where I can lay down and die. What did you make of your old man's toughness when you were growing up?
You know, I mean, I was just used to it. Like, it was just always that kind of crap. Like, you know, and yeah, that story is true. He just pulled it out and just went back to work. But, like, that's just how he did everything. Like, he honestly stitches himself. Like, he doesn't – he's weird about that, I guess.
It was always that sort of crap. All right, how about this? The two of you made your own weights back in the day. What was that process like? And then what was it like working out with him?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my dad – we didn't really have the money at the time to go to a gym, but, you know, we had a couple welders, you know, bought some metal rod and bought some, you know, cheap weights from Walmart, and we just welded everything up.
Taven Bryan joining us. Listen, you grew up in Wyoming. That's a great place. I love Wyoming. I've been there. I understand it. But maybe not necessarily every major program's recruiting travel spot, right? So Will Muschamp comes and he finds you. Is it true that when he came to see you and your father at the fire department, is that where he met you guys and how'd that visit go?
No, he came up after I committed there. You know, he came up, said hello. It was cold out. You know, he was ready to go home. So, you know, it's kind of funny. It was cold. You know, Wyoming gets cold, windy, and, you know, snowy. So, you know, he wasn't used to that. But
no, not working and living and recruiting from Florida. Now, there are all these legends and myths. I mean, Taven, I can go on and on about these things. You can tell me what's true and what's not. But what about the one that you stopped squatting heavy after you hit the 600-pound mark? Is that true? And then if so, what's the thinking behind that?
You know, I just don't see any point in going past it, honestly. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, you kind of want to balance everything you do. So, you know, instead of just being just a big kind of heavy power lifter, you know, maybe try something else, maybe like high volume, you know, just make myself more well-rounded.
Taven Bryan joining us. The draft's coming up in about a week. So less than a week away, how much attention are you paying to mock drafts and the predictions about where you might be playing? I mean, is that something that impacts you at all, or you just ignore the whole thing and you'll find out when the time comes?
Oh, yeah. You know, those guys, I mean, honestly, I don't know if they watch much football, so, like, it doesn't hurt my feelings when they put me down low or anything like that. But, like, you know, they got little predictions. It's like a media thing, I guess. And, you know, nobody knows where they're going. Like, you could talk to anybody. The only person that probably would know is, you know, the general manager from the Browns, and that'd be it. But first pick, other than that, no one else knows who they're getting. So, you know. We'll see. No, I'm not really too worried about it.
Charles Davis is my guest. Charles, great to have you back. How are you?
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me, Jim. Hope you're well.
My man, I am. I'm great. Nice to hear your voice. Hope you're well, too. Now, there's been a lot of talk about Josh Allen. Let me start right there, Charles. Potentially going number one to the Browns. Is it a pre-draft smokescreen, or do you think there's genuine interest there?
Well, I think there's genuine interest. I think they're kicking the tires on everyone, Jim. We know that. But at this time frame, I believe no one, and you've been around the block a few times yourself. You've seen this happen many, many times. I believe nothing until the pick is made. Personally, I think John Dorsey knows what he wants to do with this pick, but I doubt he's telling anyone in his organization. He's going to keep it close to the vest. I mean, the highest office in our land, we can't keep leaks. So if you're John Dorsey, you know what you want to do. Just don't tell anyone. But personally, I still think that Sam Darnold will be the first name called.
Charles Davis joining us. I was going to say, if I hear any information this time of year, I just assume it's not true. Otherwise, I wouldn't be hearing the information, right? So
right.
You touched on this. If you're making that pick, I was going to say, who would you rather have, Allen or Darnold? So who would you rather have and why?
I would take Darnold. I like the upside, and I know that's one of those buzzwords, but remember, he's a redshirt sophomore. So he's a little bit younger, hasn't got quite the experience you would want. Remember the old Bill Parcells quarterback formula? Well, when a kid has a chance to be the number one pick in the draft and is going to go in the top five, that formula goes out the window. Kind of like when Mark Sanchez came out. You just go. Now I hear people just like groaning, oh, no, he didn't put Mark Sanchez. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying you can't take the formula and use it on a kid who has a chance to make that kind of money. I like Darnold's ability to not just extend plays, but see plays almost before they happen. He has great anticipation in his throws. More than enough arm to make the throws you want. He is not a great runner, but he's a very instinctual runner who will run for yardage and run to keep the play alive and find people downfield. We know he's got to correct turnovers, Jim, mainly in the pocket, taking care of the football. Marcus Mariota went through that at Oregon as well. That is a skill that you can learn. What he does on the field, a lot of that you can't teach people. That's why I like him a little bit better. Allen, I love everything about him. In fact, he's one of the greatest kids I've ever met, spent time with him. So I have a little bias with him. But accuracy, I always come back to that. Every time I get sold on the big arm, is the big arm accurate? I have to ask myself. We went through it with Jake Locker. Went through it with Christian Hackenberg. We could name a number of other guys. I worry about that with him, although I still think he's a prime prospect.
You know, Charles Davis, my guest, I was going to say, ball security is something you can fix. Can you fix accuracy or lack thereof?
Jim, have you, and I only ask you this because you've seen the game a lot, how many times have we talked about a college quarterback who had a certain throwing percentage in college that had increased dramatically in the NFL?
Never.
Because the windows are tighter, the defensive backs are better, The pass rush is more fierce. It's so many different things. Now, I do believe that Josh Allen has the capability of being a better thrower, a more accurate thrower. Footwork, shorten the stride. Remember, he's a long, tall guy. He really is built like Carson Wentz. If you put them next to each other, doppelgangers in terms of height, weight, that those types of measurements. But throwing the football, sometimes it gets a little overextended. You've seen it. And when you start making a lot of excuses, and he doesn't, but people in his camp do, and I understand why. Are the receivers this? What about the blocking here? All of those things. Last time I went through this, one of the guys was Matt Ryan when he threw a lot of interceptions at Boston College. Well, Matt didn't have a single receiver, Jim, that I'm not even sure they even went to camp, let alone made it in the NFL. Josh has some of those similarities, but I always keep coming back to this. When you throw the football, is it a groove motion each and every time? Sometimes he doesn't get his footwork right underneath him. It's something he's working on fiercely this offseason.
Charles Davis joining us. Having said all of that, I can't wait to get your thoughts on Baker Mayfield, who is so polarizing and has been the subject of so much talk and so many questions, be it his size or his attitude or the system that he played in college. How do you think he projects on the next level? Where do you come out on him? Take your time, Charles.
I think with Baker Mayfield, when he gets his name called, Jim, maybe in the first five picks of this draft, definitely we know in the first 15 or so, there ought to be an ode to Fran Tarkenton, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, all those guys who have done it before him. Heck, I'll throw in Eddie LeBaron for all the super veterans out there who are listening.
Right.
Who played at a high level in the NFL despite height being an issue. Now remember, Mayfield's 6'1". Wilson, not even 6 feet tall. So he seems like a giant compared to him. But Baker has excellent footwork, throws the ball accuracy, more than enough arm, got the zip that you need on it, good touch in depending on what ball you want him to throw. The thing about him, Jim, you know, is the determination to show people that they are wrong, right? He's the kid who's got the hit list on his phone from the sixth grade that he refers to often. Anyone who he perceives has slighted him goes on the hit list. I'm going to show you. And that chip on his shoulder served him so well because Texas Tech walk-on started the first game he played. Oklahoma had to walk on again, won a Heisman Trophy, and played for, played in the college football playoff a couple of times. This kid, he beat you with determination, but he beat you with talent as well. My only advice to him is let the chip stay, but don't make it into a boulder. Don't tilt at windmills and fight with people over stuff you don't need to fight with. Listen, Tom Brady knows everything you and I have ever said about him, Jim. But does he ever respond to us? That's the thing I would just tell Baker. Don't respond to that stuff. Just focus on being a quarterback because I like his game.
Charles Davis joining us, getting ready for the NFL draft. It's coming up next Thursday. NFL Network's all over it. He will be part of the Fox coverage too, which is going to carry NFL Network rounds 1 through 3. Before you go, there's a lot of attention on quarterbacks. You and I could talk about this for an entire hour, but I want to ask you about Bradley Chubb from North Carolina State. Where could you see him going in the draft?
Anywhere. Listen, if the draft starts at 1 with Cleveland, obviously, and I still say it starts there because if they do pick Josh Allen, the Giants might change up. But let's say they do take Sam Darnold right there at the top. I think the draft starts at 2 for Bradley Chubb. The Giants would have him in play there. Jim, the Giants franchise overall has always been about defense. The rock stars, Frank Gifford notwithstanding, have always been the defensive guys. They've got the best tables, the biggest consideration, the loudest cheers, cheer for the defense, the whole deal. And Dave Gettleman loves big guys, right? He's always told me since I was in high school, Charlie, it's always going to be a big man's game. And Chubb fits that bill, pass rusher extraordinaire. He starts there with him. I think his next opportunity would be at 4 with Cleveland because I think Barkley comes off the board and Cleveland, after taking a quarterback, could come back and get him at 4. I don't think he lasts past 6 at Indianapolis if indeed they let it get that far.
Charles Davis, my guest. Before you go, Bills Mafia, always curious about what's going to happen. So let me ask you about the Bills. They add A.J. McCarron in the offseason. The thought is they're still looking to draft a quarterback. Is it a foregone conclusion that if they do draft a quarterback, it's just going to push McCarron out of the way? Or could you see him making that difficult?
Yeah, he's going to make it very difficult, Jim. That's been my prediction since the time he signed with them. This is a kid who, you know, they talk about A.J. and being a good, strong Christian. And a lot of people, as soon as they hear that in their mind, they think they're going to get a meek, mild-mannered guy, don't they? He is so far from that. He is confident in his abilities. almost he borders on arrogance if you don't know him. But that arrogance, he played well for Cincinnati when he had to fill in for Andy Dalton. This is his shot, Jim. So anyone who thinks that when he gets on the field and you draft the quarterback, he's immediately pushed to the side, I wish him luck with that because he plans to be there for a while.
Tyler, damn, dude. What's up? What's the plan? What's going on? What are you doing there?
Well, just came to do a little pre-Smackoff scouting work and drafted Rich Ackman first overall. So that's what we're doing right now.
Dude, how did you get into that building?
Romy, when you look as good as Two Lean Canadians does, you can get in pretty much anywhere you need to.
Did you just say that when you look as good as Two Lean Canadians do, you can get in anywhere?
That's pretty much it, Romy.
All right, so
that
are you,
easy.
What are you guys, Tyler? Are you guys Team Bake, Anti-Team Bake, or something totally different?
You know, I'm kind of my own thing. I don't care either way. But I don't have anything for Team Bake today. I got a couple little ones for Team Cake, though.
What do you
hashtag
got?
Bet America, hashtag Left in Laguna. See, Romy, what actually happened is I came down to do a little pre-Smackoff scouting work a couple months back. And long story short, I really couldn't keep the ladies off me. So fast forward to today, and I'm currently stationed at my gal's place on the Upper East Side of town. Matt is setting up our recruiting camp near the CBS studios, which we have so eloquently named the 8-Pack Revolution. From what I hear, man, it isn't going good. Americans checking into camp. To give you an idea, apparently Caleb was using candy bars in the dumbbell press this morning. So much like you hiring Hawk, Romy, it'll be a work in progress. That being said, it's been a pretty good week of calls, though. I really enjoyed Benny's Dan in Denver quality takedown of the XR4TI the other day. Benny, my man, you got to stick to your strengths. The people of America don't like you because they think you have blistering smack. They like you because you talk about food. That also includes your best pal, leftover lover in Laguna. Too bad Doughboy got run before he could give us his predictions on the NFL. Left, if I wanted a breakdown of old washouts playing 21, I'd go to Mike and Indy's Twitter account. And Romy, speaking of Mike, it's kind of funny, man. I live in Edmonton. Matt's in Vancouver. We're both a minute or two from you or New York now. Yet we have the so-called great Mike and Indy taking a hiatus from the show so he can cry about things such as geographical disadvantages. Mikey, I'm curious if you heard the Jim Rome podcast with Kobe this week. Being the thin-skinned prince of hoop in the jungle, I figure you probably aspire to be just like Kobe. But I've come to realize that you're actually just like that pathetic baby-backed bitch, Paul Pierce, getting carted off in a wheelchair with hurt feelings. Just so you can come back in the second half for a little attention grab. It's a pretty bad look, dude. So, Romy, the point of all this is this. The Canadian invasion is officially underway. We're in your house. We're raiding your pantry. We're stealing your women. And there is not a damn thing that any of you can do about it. As always, pimp, appreciate it.
Matt in Vancouver, part of that Canadian invasion. Matt, how's NYC treating you? What's up?
What up, Rome? I appreciate the minute. Yeah, Team Canada Combine going down here in Manhattan, and it has been an absolute disaster. The only signing we're making so far has been Rich Ackman. Dude, Mark in Boston showed up an hour early. I was like, oh, this kid's hyped. This is going to go well. And I know you've said numerous times Mark in Boston could win a smack-off. And, man, you're right. If Lef, Vic, Mike, Chael, Benny, Tyler, and myself all pass away before the smack-off, then Mark in Boston sure as hell has a chance. Rome, Mark was deadlifting 65 pounds and his cargo shorts fell down. He is definitely not Team Canada material. But it was good to see my guy Fluke and Fort Collins fall ass backwards into a golden ticket, Rome. We brought him in and sat him in the three-hour on-hold chamber in preparation for the smack-off day. Rome, even the champ left showed up even though he wasn't invited. I guess he had to give Benny a ride. All he did was bag around in his triple XL Beats by Dre, a pastel golf shirt with the collar popped, taking unprompted selfies and trying to impress Rick in Buffalo by playing his stuck-up smack-off catalog. BS, left. But speaking of Benny Rome, I knew the instant he showed up in a camouflage hat and some capris, he would not be Team Canada material. But Rome, the most disgusting part of the combine was brought to us by Victor in NoCal. While I'll spare you the gritty details, let's just say after Tyler and I saw the current state of his sweatpants, we chipped in and got Vic a subscription to Dollar Shave Club. Not to hook my man up with razors, but to hook him up with some much-needed one-wipe Charlies. Romy wore the Team Canada invasion. Thanks for squeezing me in. Peace.
Team Canada running their own combine here in the U.S. Mark in Boston. Mark, what's up?
Jimmy, how about these Team Canada boys, huh? Tandem calls, studio storms, an Ackerman visit. You guys were playing all the hits today, man. It's just that they weren't your hits. So why stop there? Why not sing a parody about Alvy's dad? Or team up with that Amazon Alexa thing? Oh, I know, a Glengarry Glenn Ross parody, like Vic and Chad both copied from someone else, too. Are you guys saving Summer of 69 for the encore, or cuts like a knife, dude? Tyler, the only thing more predictable than your call being extra mediocre was your take on Americans being fat. Rome, you check that pick these two mermaids snap with Ackerman? Tyler, I don't know if I should retweet that or donate 25 cents a month so you can get access to clean drinking water, man. Sure, some Americans are fat, but you look like a prisoner of war. I mean, I get a little ribbing here and there, but that doesn't mean we literally want to see your ribs. Matt's a little more robust than you, but you two look like a 10 walking down the street. No, literally, a 1 and a total 0. And Matt, you didn't really include yourself in the company of Lef, Mike, Mark, and Brad, did you? You and Tyler are so irrelevant, Rome had to create an 11th and 12th place just for you guys last year. If you two bottom feeders even dream of running smack on me again, you better wake up and apologize. And I've left you about 10 minutes for you to call back so you can say, sorry, sorry.
All right, so what's today? The greenest, dankest, laziest, hungriest day of the year. It's finally here, 420. We've been talking about it. It's the highest of high holidays. A day when heads worldwide celebrate a life dedicated to smoking weed by, get this now, smoking weed. How very ambitious of you stoners. You see, normally a holiday is not like every other day, but that's not the case with 420. Shockingly, 420 is just a bunch of heads being heads. Here's an example. Imagine, say, gym guy rolling up on the world and telling us, today's different. Today's a holiday. Today, I get my lift in. Or golf guy proudly declaring that he's pulling the bats from the trunk this afternoon. Big day. Or softball guy leaning in and disclosing plans to explode a hammy, stretching a bloop single into a selfish double. You see, we know gym guy pumps. We know golf guy swings. We know softball guy gets wrecked, reliving high school glory days. But stoners, for some hilarious reason, are hell-bent on reminding the world that they smoke. Now, I'm not here to crack it. I'm just not. I'm not here to condone it. I'm just not. But I'm not here to crack it. I mean, this time last year, Washington and Colorado were the only two states to have bud totally legalized. Now, 8 different states are totally down with recreational loose use of the lettuce. On top of that, you've got 18 other states that say it's cool if you go through a doctor. A total of 46 U.S. states allow the Quran in some capacity or another. So Team Bake is winning the war on Quran. I mean, hell, Mike Tyson is opening up a stoner Disneyland. Ricky Williams has got a shop in San Diego. I mean, it's starting to feel like a heads world, and we're all just living in it. So Team Bake, not necessarily your bat signal, although you've already used it as such. Not only is it 420, but it is Friday. Not only is it Friday, it's payday. So it's all lining up for y'all. And if there's still Easter candy in your house, you can do what this dude did last year.
Right now, I am rifling through my kids' Easter basket. Both my kids.
That's incredible.
Just the good stuff, though. Just the, like, jelly beans and some caramel things.
All right, so if you can do it responsibly, come on in. That kid was rifling through his kids' Easter baskets on 420. So what are you doing? Are you doing dabs? Are you crushing gummies? Are you keeping it old school and just blowing trees? And for those of you wondering why I'm shouting out Team Bake, I'll tell you why. Team Bake has always had my back. Team Bake is a part of the program. No different than when I shout out to pool tech guy, lady clones, dudes driving delivery trucks. You've heard my love for outside sales. Team Bake, unlike those others, simply happens to have its own day. And I've got some loyalty here, so Merry Stoner Christmas Heads. If the Masters is a tradition unlike any other, then 420 is a day just like every other.
For Team Bake.
All right, let me mention Irate Craig really quickly. If you've been a listener to this show for 20 years or 20 days, you know this guy. He goes back with me as far as any clone could, and he's made a name for himself in the jungle as that lovable Long Beach resident burnout. Now, I say that with the utmost respect. He knows that. But typically when I ask him how he's doing, he answers by saying things like, over fine. Or he'll confess that he just woke up at 11:30 in the morning. Or cop two, already have having had a few pops at breakfast. But we love the guy. You know, he's harmless, he's loyal as they come, and if the Dodgers are playing or the Ponies are running, then Ira is calling. Now, you know what you're going to get with Ira, which is why a few months back, when he told me he wrote a book, I couldn't believe it. Like, my man reads? My man writes? One thing for Silk Bra to start teaching the youth, but now Ira is going Ira Hemingway. Like, no way. No freaking way. Yes freaking way. Because dude emailed his book to me, 224 pages, this book. And in the spirit of the high holiday, why not pay respect to an absolute OG clone? He's written a book. It's predictably and aptly titled, When Every Day is Friday Night. Now, let me be straight about this. I did not read this book. It's 224 pages of Microsoft Word. I did not read this book. I have not gotten that far yet. But who better to stick his beak in this book than the Pidge himself, a guy with a beak, Adam Hawk. Hawk, you're back. Second time today. Look, I don't know what's more impressive, Ira writing the book or a three-time 13th grade dropout reading the book. Did you read Ira's book or did your wife read you Ira's book?
I wish she had. I mean, it's been a while since I read a book. I haven't read a book since Tiger Woods wrote that autobiography on winning the Masters in 97 last year. And this one did take me a while to get through. Ira sent it to me 6 months ago, but I did finally finish it last night.
All right. So what's the book about? And do you have a favorite excerpt?
It's hard to tell what the book is about because there are just so many incredible stories of a guy doing everything you would think Ira Craig would do. But one of my favorite stories is when he went to the Fabulous Forum in Inglewood to go see Rat and Bon Jovi. Let me read from the book, please, Jim. It's a small excerpt. He had just taken some substances before going to see Rat and Bon Jovi, and he writes, "The fight or flight animal-like survival instinct of the high-powered LSD fear gripped my rapidly deteriorating mind as the tide of humanity slowly emerged from the dope-filled haze that was the floor on the forum. Mass paranoia and confusion began to infiltrate my racing head as we struggled to find any seat to take. The horrific sounds of Bon Jovi pumbled my now terrified psyche."
Wow. So, dude, that sounds like the L. That sounds like acid. I've never done acid, but that sounds like acid.
I like how he calls it the horrific sounds of Bon Jovi. He also has this great line in the book, completely random.
How do you feel about Rat? He hated Bon Jovi. How do you feel about Rat?
He said Rat was okay, and he started to calm down after Rat came on.
Okay.
He writes also, quote, "Drugs will get you through times of no money much better than money will get you through times with no drugs," right?
Oh, dude, deep. That's really profound. Really that is deep. Heavy. That is really heavy.
There's a great story of when he cheated on his girlfriend right above the room that his girlfriend lived in.
His girlfriend cocaine or his girlfriend heroin?
His actual girlfriend. Oh, he cheated on her above her room, and he writes, quote, "I'm sure there's a special place in hell for adulterous swine like myself, but man, I'm only flesh and bone. How can I say no to that sexy angel? The simple answer was I couldn't. I was no match for her. This is something I needed to work on and still do. I'm just a sucker for a pretty face."
It's undefeated.
It is.
Sex is undefeated, and so is pot.
And my final favorite story from Ira, he goes to New York to watch six Grateful Dead shows in a row at Madison Square Garden. And when he's waiting for them to come out, he's freaking out a little bit because he has presumably taken something. And he writes, quote, "And suddenly a tsunami of emotion swept over the arena, enveloping the band, the crew, and the crowd in a cathartic, all-encompassing emotional gravitas. For reasons unknown to me yet, I began to sob convulsively. Following the lead of those in the know and cleansing my soul of the pervading fear, filling my heart with an infinite, boundless joy, I can only describe it as a religious-type experience, like going to church and really getting it for the first time."
I gotta tell you, I have not read this book. This makes me want to read this book. So on a scale of 1 to 5 cannabis leaves, how many cannabis leaves would you give this book?
I give this 4 cannabis leaves. It is an incredibly entertaining read. You can't help but love the guy. He is as personable in the book as you could possibly imagine. It's no wonder everyone loves him. Great dude. I don't give it five cannabis leaves because he desperately needs an editor. It's quite overwritten and there are typos abound. So if he gets an editor, I'll give it five cannabis leaves.
Really quickly, is there a reference to the show? What is the reference
to the
show? Yes,
the reference is that he used to go to remotes with Mike Piazza, and him and Mike Piazza used to have to fend off beautiful babes as they would run up to them while watching you do your show.
Are they Canadian? Are they Tyler and Matt or Piazza and Ira?
He definitely says he was great friends with Mike Piazza.
Okay, there it is. So Ira's got his own book. On the 12th day of Stoner Christmas, my dealer gave to me 12 tacos crunching, 11 cone joints burning, 10 chronic gummies, 9 vape pens vaping, 8 blunts a blazing, 7 strains a growing, 6 wax a dabbing, 5 edibles, 4 fish CDs, 3 bong rips, 2 Swisher sweets, and a dime bag of his best weed. What's cracking? A tremendous Monday to you. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. All right, everything in full swing. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, lots to cover. Let's not waste time. Got to start with the NBA playoffs. And if there is one lesson to come from all the series openers this weekend, it's got to be this. Philadelphia is coming fast, and you better look the hell out.
Yeah! And the Sixers get a victory.
They were supposed to be surprised about how the intensity ramps up in the postseason. And they were supposed to take a step back without Joel Embiid. All wrong. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship this year, but I'm saying I have seen the future, and it is in Philly. Right there at Javier's on Friday night, in all his glory, Andy freaking Reid.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and know I'm hyped. You know, this has always been an enormous Andy Reid house. And I took that moment to remind him as much.
All right, Jim, you're the best, man. Appreciate it.
We're talking Pierre McGuire. Everybody was screaming, Crosby sucks. Crosby sucks.
What the hell, man?
He gets off on that. He loves the fact that the Flyer fans dislike him so much. He loves it when the deck is stacked against him. He always finds a way to overcome it.
I'm not trying to call anybody out. The situation was very unfair.
I'm just not sure why he's so shocked that this went the way it did. Dez is the only one who didn't see this coming.
How about you?
Garrett, guys.
Yeah! Neil Olshe is my guest.
It was great being on. Long-time listener, no-time caller. So I finally called in.
Left's been all over the wood scopes. But you know where he hasn't been, Jim? On your call screen.
What? Me, I'm out.
Pierce returning, hopping out of the tunnel.
I'm thinking, oh man, he's on some Willis Reed right now. So
that's incredible.
Here comes the crowd getting all into this type of shit. Like, oh, here we go.
He broke his bat and he hit a home run.
You don't have to like Bryce Harper, but you do have to respect Bryce Harper. Because while this guy may be many, many things, he is not overrated and he is not weak.
Bang, zoom goes Bryce Harper.
Jarvis Landry.
That's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of new guys in the building.
Oh my God.
The spirits are really high right now.
Hey, Gardell, they always start with kickoff. Stop messing with the NFL.
You want to talk about Philadelphia's big win in the Super Bowl? Romy, my man, what do you think about the designated hitter rule? I think that sucks, man. That's not the way baseball is meant to be played. Brett Brown joining us for a few more moments. Brett, Joel Embiid obviously was frustrated after the game about, quote, being babied, as he put it.
Somewhere, Jim, I expect there will be resolution. I hope soon. You know, Joel's heart is in the right place as he voiced his frustration.
How can we expect his joke writers to bang out a 30-second call in under an hour and give left time to practice?
Hold up real quick. My writing team is just finishing up a joke real quick.
I got it.
Yeah, that one's good. I like that one. Yeah, no easy.
Got him right in the thigh and hit a massive artery. Albie. Hey, Hood. At some point, the guy's not going to have the game to do it anymore. But at this point, he has both those things. Don't rip the guy's love of the game from him.
My way or the highway. My way or the highway.
Mike Lee.
I was going through a line shaking hands after a hockey game about 8 years old, and this kid fit in my face, and I just dropped the gloves and punched the kid in the face.
Lee Jenkins joining
Lee
us.
Lee Jenkins from Sports Illustrated.
Jordan played for Playboy's team. Doc Rivers and Terry Cummings. Kevin Duckworth played for a team called Seduction by Rodney.
What do Miami Hampers and fake gangster callers from Indy have in common?
I don't know, but I do know what Benny and Wisco and Cheese have in common. They both stink worse than a Dane Cook butt biscuit. Idiot.
LeBron.
Got it! Oh, good.
Why? Why?
Because he staked his team to a 15-point lead, and they still almost lost. That's why.
I bet he's exhausted, and I'm sure he just wants to use K-Love tonight. Ronald Jones joins me in studio. Why is your burger better than our burger?
Our burger is better because it's more greasy. You know, it's greasier. It's just more flavorful. I just leave it at that.
More flavorful. Wrong answer, Rojo. Brent Berry is my guest.
Thanks, Romy. If you need me again, let me know. And great talking with Adam as well. Go Sonic.
Trevor Williams of the Pirates is my guest.
Mario Kart has just ruined a lot of relationships for me in college.
David Johnson joining us. You saw some jousting. What did you make of that whole scene?
I loved it, actually. That was a good experience with the costume and the whole atmosphere. And, I mean, they take it serious. I got to throw some axe up. That was pretty cool.
The Canadian invasion is officially underway. We're in your house. We're raiding your pantry. We're stealing your women. And there is not a damn thing that any of you can do about it.
My bad. I called it wrong.
Merry Stoner Christmas Heads. If the Masters is a tradition unlike any other, then 420 is a day just like every other. Hit me with that GoFundMe page one more time.
TIRAYCraig@yahoo.com.
Brother, is that an email address or a GoFundMe page?
It's a GoFundMe page.
Wilson Phillips.
I don't even know. That is
Bacon Collar.
Dame Dala.
He's impossible to guard.
Thank you, Jim. I'm a big fan.
K-Zone Graphic.
My bad.
I wrote it in jail.
I'm going to be a nightmare for them, too.
You bless all.
Howard Leonard.
Outro. One Wife Charlie. 3 years later.
Working Bacon.
Good night now.
Calvin, keep doing you. Just crushed another week that was. And still the best 4.5 minutes in the history of radio.
Good night now.